please stay tuned for a message from our sponsor.
Today we salute you, Mr. Anti-Mason Motivational Pastor.
Mr. Anti-Mason Motivational Pastor!
Only you can turn a small congregation into a pike-carrying, torch-toting romper of a good time.
Ow, that stick is sharp!
With Bible in hand, you tell us all the ways we're going to hell, one ritual at a time.
I feel the fire burning!
White shirt, collar popped, covered in sweat from head to toe, you got the power to swell this crowd of backwoods podunk people into a fever pitch.
Oh wow, is that Miss Appleby's famous cherry pie?
So here's to you, Anti-Mason Motivational Pastor. For only through you can we truly see the face of God.
Mr. Anti-Mason Motivational Pastor.
Brought to you by the Freemasons Podcast.
Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
Just reading the mail.
Yep.
And
From listeners.
No.
They're just bills.
Looking at my bill.
Bills coming due.
Our bill. Excuse me.
Yes, our bill.
Even though I pay it.
How much do we owe, George?
We don't. We have $10.99 credit.
You have a $10 credit?
$10 credit.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, we should get extra bandwidth for that.
We should.
They should just be like, you know what? We are going to make sure that your internet never fails again.
You know what these fuckers will do, though? They'll switch it over from regular internet to the fiber optic that they're installing and then say you owe us $300.
No, it's actually going to be cheaper, I think, because of competition. No. They're putting fiber in my neighborhood.
Bullshit.
They're putting fiber in my neighborhood finally this summer. Finally, because the regulatory commission in Connecticut didn't allow them to install underground in underground utilities. And I think they just stopped that moratorium, so we will have fiber soon, and it's going to be cheaper.
Hey, did you also know we get a federal broadband credit? I didn't even know what the fuck that is, but it was $29 off the bill.
The government credits us?
The government credits us.
For using internet.
Yes.
If they knew what we were talking about over the internet, what we were using it for, I guarantee you they would reverse those charges.
Oh,
we
shit.
Would owe them back taxes or something.
We forgot our, hello, welcome to the Freemasons Podcast.
Oh, hello!
I am Ray Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
And I am Worshipful Brother Ken.
And we're up here doing listeners' questions today. I don't know if we have any listeners because Ken doesn't flip over back to YouTube.
Oh, sorry. I had to make sure that our levels were good.
It's early. It's early.
James Fields, brother, good morning.
Good morning.
Says good morning.
Yeah, $10.94. They.
Well, this is a red letter day. We should celebrate.
We should.
The fact that we have a credit on our internet bill.
Pretty wild.
Instead of them shutting it off on us.
Yeah, because I actually pay the goddamn bill.
God,
paid ahead of time.
We're such deadbeats.
What did you do?
That was the automatic thing is popping up. And, it finally ran the startup script, but that's okay because everything's already running.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah, that's why we got a federal credit is they're watching what we're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't talk about things you're not supposed to.
The KGB will be listening.
I'll talk about Rush Clues. Start to say Russian, also.
Yeah, exactly.
Computer explodes. I mean, that's what happened when we were talking to what's his name from Ukraine.
You know what?
Computer grenaded.
We still never figured out what the underlying cause of that was. It was like a Stuxnet thing. It was like, you know, we looked at the power supply and it's like
Vladimir. He's like, me push red button.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's do some housekeeping stuff. You want to do an Apple review first?
Oh, yes.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
This one comes from Morticus 88. Great show and educational. .. Okay. 5-star review. The lodge ghost touched me. That's all he wrote.
You're not the only one, brother.
Actually, you're so what? You could be the lodge ghost.
I think I am the lodge ghost.
You're actually looking pretty freaking tan today.
Yeah, I was in Arizona for work, and I got a little bit of a base tan, which means I'm just slightly yellow instead of pale white. So we'll see what happens.
They call you mellow yellow?
Yeah, that's why they... That was my nickname back in college.
So that's all I got for an Apple review. You want to toast them?
Let's do that with our coffee early.
With
in the
our
morning.
Coffee early in the morning, because yeah. We don't drink this early in the morning. We're responsible.
Yeah, we're good people. We're children of God.
We put Zambuca in our coffee.
Yeah.
Right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brother. Vivat, vivat, vivat. All right, we're going to put this bill over here.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kenny.
All right. Over on Instagram, we've got a F-ton of new followers because I've been shirking my responsibilities and not reading them, which I apologize for. We'll start off with Seneca Lodge number 55. Hello, brothers. Bernardo Linares, Brendan Hickey, the Paranormal Bloke. Oh, wait, I did these already.
You did those already.
I just wanted to say Seneca Lodge again.
You just want to say Bloke again.
We'll go back up here. Peter Daigle, which I thought he followed us a long time ago, but hello, Peter Daigle, once again. David Heiler, Kenny Jacobs, Stephen Aldridge, Shane McCormick, Miles Farkash, Life of Nick, Burlington Lodge, Knoxville. Hello, my brothers. David Petty, Durangi 10.
Philip
Schlosslin, and John Richmond, and there's more. Matt Krempler, the Meeting Point 360, R. Slayton, Caleb Crook, Gunnar Daly, Freddie Mendoza, Joshua Black, Veli Madi Paznin, Sergio Guerrero with a G. Unpronounceable, written in Cyrillic alphabet. I'm sorry, I can't help you there.
What's Cyrillic?
Cyrillic is the alphabet used by languages like Russian and Ukrainian.
Okay.
Yeah. Adan, Fab Rice, Matthias Erickson, and Anis Aftab.
Nice.
Masonic 786.
James Thank Fields, do you have a Facebook page? Yeah, we got a Facebook page.
We have several.
Who runs it? Who runs it anymore?
It's me and Joe.
You and Joe run it?
Yeah.
How's that look? Because I'm not on Facebook.
The community, we have two pages, actually. We have the official Freemasons podcast branded page, which is, you know, we'll post updates on upcoming episodes and that kind of thing. And then we have a community page, which allows for community content where memes and other nefarious things are posted by our greater community. And you can get access to that one. You can like our public page, but to get access to the Facebook podcast...
It's like Discord, but watered down because, you know, somebody got mad that there was a donkey schlong that was on there and they got mad.
Yeah, so we had to kind of split it up. But to get access to the Freemasons Podcast community page, just search it out on Facebook and you answer the three questions. And if you answer them correctly, they're not hard. Mm. They're basically just to make sure you're not Illuminati or a robot.
Illuminati.
And if you answer them correctly, you'll get access to the community and be able to interact with all of your brethren and with us idiots.
And then there's Discord, which is the easier way to interact with all of us idiots.
Yes, but to get access to that,
go ahead.
You need to join Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, is that where we're at right now? That's our tier. You can get access to Patreon, which gives you access to exclusive Freemasons podcast content. And also you get access to the Discord channel, several Discord channels. Our Discord server is what you get access to. And as long as you're paying your bills, paying your dues, you get access to many different types of channels. We have a tiled one. We have... one for, like, each appendant body. We have one just to talk about food and drinks and bartending and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Stewart's channel. And
James Fields, don't know what the question about Josephus is, though. What's the question about Josephus?
No, it's probably, like, what are his three rules of...
He's got two rules.
Two rules, right, the two rules.
The two rules. Yeah. We talk about them all the time.
Yeah, they're on there, man. You can find them.
It's... basically...
We can talk about it now, actually. Joseph, he's clearly listening to rules.
He was on top of Mount Sinai when he came down with the tablets. One of them said, mind your business.
Yep.
Two was, don't be an asshole.
Absolutely.
Those are the two ones.
Yep. He was like a ginger Moses.
All I picture is that scene from freaking American History Part 1. History of the World Part 1.
Ten commandments.
Well, he's got the 15 commandments.
Yeah.
Behold, I give you these 15. He's 10 commandments.
It's quality content.
Yeah. Mel Brooks is funny. Is he even alive anymore?
I'm pretty sure Mel Brooks is still alive. That's a good question, though. I don't know.
We also have a Twitter page. Now that I think about it, we have a Twitter page. Every once in a while, I don't go on Twitter too often, but when I do, it's
that's all you. I don't use
Twitter. Usually to heckle people who are talking shit about Freemasonry. Barry Newell is he's on there all the time. I follow him because he's the one who really like brings him to light, and then I just start. Then I go in on it on top of it because it's fun. I don't know. Sometimes you got to feed the trolls.
Yeah, he's the one that whispers good counsel, and then you just tear them asunder.
I don't whisper good counsel because it's all horseshit. Anyway, so we're gonna do listeners' questions. So if you guys are watching live and you got any questions for Freemasons, Freemasonry,
by the way, Brother James Fields, you did good enough. I just admitted you. So
he did good enough. I don't. What are the three questions?
I mean, one of them is like they're stupid questions. Like, are you an avid listener of the podcast? I think.
Yeah.
A couple of them were like the original RAF questions.
Yeah.
And then I think somebody at some point added the Josephus one. Probably Joe.
Probably Joe.
Just to make sure that there's always one question, just to make sure you know something about the podcast, to make sure you're not, you know, Illuminati.
I haven't really seen that much of Illuminati anymore. They haven't really.
No, it's because they can't answer the question.
No, but I'm just saying in general. I mean, there was like this. I mean, you remember when we like?
Oh yeah, it was
a couple of years ago. It was like they were hitting everybody for freaking money, holding snakes up, and I don't know what was it, lion skulls and donkey piss or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
They,
and it wasn't just like podcasts about Freemasonry. It was like the Grand Lodge Facebook page. Yeah, like every Grand Lodge.
They stole
Facebook
pictures
page.
off of Grand Lodges.
Yeah, but they were like heckling them too. They were like joining their groups and like local lodges.
Really? I mean,
yeah, Harmony's Facebook page got a bunch of them and stuff.
I would like to say that we were the ones who rooted them out.
I'd like to think that
I'd
we
like
were
to
the
think
ones,
that we were the tip of the spear on that one.
Yeah. We sent Agent 47 after them, and they were like, you know what, it's not worth it. This is not these guys are soft targets.
James Fields, Mel is 96 and still alive. Jesus God.
Yeah, he's
96. Holy shit.
Probably still writing screenplays too.
Probably. God, 96. He was old as shit when he did the
Spaceballs.
He was old
60s or something.
That's crazy. 50s, yeah. It's insane though. Like, I don't know. It's just life is just interesting. You get these people who are like 96 years old, alive and kicking, riding bikes and stuff. And then you get somebody who's like 26, freaking total fitness health and just keels over and dies.
The world is a scary place.
It's interesting. Just when it's your time, when the Reaper calls, takes his swing.
That's true.
All right. So,
sad.
Shane Alexander, I'm going to give him a shout out here. I don't know if he's listening. I'm sure you'll hear it at some point. Hello again from Kentucky Brothers. I'm yet again seeking out your opinion on a matter of our district. Our current district deputy grandmaster, which is a district deputy, is being very active in letting know we are still around in a very innovative manner. He asked me to make a banner with a graphic directly from Grand Lodge of Kentucky's website. It also lists every lodge in our district. His intentions for us to set up a booth at local events and pass out bottles of free water. The purpose, obviously, is to spark some interest in the Mentor community. Hand out vodka. Nippers of vodka.
No,
not
you can't
water.
Do that.
Sure you can.
This is in Kentucky?
It makes it even better. Oh,
I think
there
are like dry counties and stuff in some areas of Kentucky. You don't want to be handing out nips.
To open a conversation, so to speak, we also have ordered a banner to hang on a local semi-pro basketball park, which basically looks identical to the banner I created. Actually, my wife, because she's much smarter and tech-savvy than I am. Anyway, a few brothers in the district believe this is a form of recruiting. I can kind of see their concerns. However, the graphic is directly from the Kentucky Grand Lodge, and our district deputy grandmaster received their approval before moving forward. So let's dissect this first.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, this is something that Mason's got to, like, we got to talk about because there's a big thing in Masonry. And this is my opinion. I don't express any
opinion.
opinion of any
These are
grand
not the opinions
lodge.
Of any Grand Lodge, any Lodge of Freemasons, or any appendant body of Freemasonry. The views that you're about to hear are exclusively those of George Mudry.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for the disclaimer.
You're welcome, sir.
So, here's my take on all this, okay? Here's what we're recruiting is different than what we do. When you hang a banner, when you hand out water bottles of water, you're suggesting. It's not recruiting. Okay?
It's advertising.
It's advertising.
Right. Which is different than recruiting.
You're sparking an interest of something. In other words, we're not standing there handing out petitions saying, here, take this petition, here, fill out this petition, right. Here, fill out this. Recruiting is different because recruiting, if you think about it in terms of sports, okay? Kid comes out of college, he's going to the NFL. What do they throw at him? Money, cars, contracts. We don't do any of that shit.
Contracts.
That is recruiting.
Right.
That is recruiting. When you're offering something in return for services, that is, you know, you come play for us, we'll give you X amount of dollars for this X amount of years with X amount of sign-on bonus, blah, blah. That is recruiting.
Right.
Masons don't do that.
Yeah, you can't walk up to a billboard and, like, pull a petition out of it, right? So you still have to do the work. You still have to go to the lodge if you are interested. But advertising is just to spark interest. And there's nothing in the ancient charges about not doing that.
There's a fundamental difference.
Yep.
Now, granted, anciently, Freemasons didn't even do that. It was word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it was subtle suggestion. Joe's story was a perfect one. How the guy would leave the Bible with the square and compasses out for him to see. It's a quiet suggestion.
Yep.
It's not. you're sparking an interest. You're getting them to engage with you. If they don't engage with you.
Yeah,
let it go.
And it was a much more personal thing, too. It would be like if somebody came over to your house and you thought that they would make a good Mason, right? You leave, like, little suggestions,
you leave little suggestions,
around,
trinkets.
And if somebody asks,
maybe
them,
throw on a lapel pin. We do that at the bar downstairs.
Right.
You throw on a lapel pin, you dress up a suit, you got your little freaking name tag.
Yeah.
Sometimes you walk downstairs in aprons, but it's not too frequently.
Yeah, usually we don't do that.
We usually sometimes we'll just walk downstairs, smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, those subtle suggestions, that's advertising. That is not recruiting. Recruiting is when you're giving something in return.
Yep.
And I think that there's a lot of Grand Lodges and a lot of people who, especially the old timers, who don't understand the difference between advertising and recruiting. Mm-hmm. Recruiting is when you're giving something back.
Yep. And the world has changed, right? Advertising has taken on a much different light than it did prior, right? Like, there were no billboards at a certain point in history, and the only way you could do this was word of mouth. Well, now we've got social media, so why shouldn't we use it to our advantage? As long as we're being circumspect and making sure that it's just to, you know, get people who might already be interested to take the next step, and not, you know, we're not emailing petitions around and stuff like that. You're not actively recruiting.
James Fields. I'm just going to hit some of these questions here.
Yeah, the first one was right up here I highlighted.
Oh, you did? Is there any tall cedars of Lebanon in your area? I think Waterbury, right?
I don't think they're based in Waterbury. I think it's somewhere else in Connecticut. But I know my neighbor I used to live next to, who's like a member of every appendant body. He showed me like his list of dues cards at one point. He's got them all like laminated. And it's like, he's got like his giant rubber banded thing of dude.
Rolls out like a Roman freaking newspaper.
Yeah, exactly. Like a like a scroll. He's I forget what the head tall cedars title is, but I believe he is that for one of the. I think there might be two tall cedars of Lebanon bodies in Connecticut, and he's the head of one of them.
I want to address that before we're done, too, about all these appending bodies and shit.
Yeah. One of the lesser-known ones.
And it's going to be my opinion, so
yeah,
I'm going to leave it at that.
It. They're definitely around.
James Fields agreed we shouldn't ask someone to join. That's recruiting. See? Now, I don't wholeheartedly agree with you on that one, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. What I did with a brother back in the day was, I didn't tell him he should join. What I said was, you would make a good Mason.
Right.
And then I left it at that. I was like, you know what, man? You'd make a good Mason. You're a good dude. You'd make a good Mason.
Mm-hmm.
What's a Freemason? Boom. Door wide open.
Right. And
so
if they have some kind of negative opinion of the fraternity or they don't care, then they just walk away. And you know,
again, recruiting to me would be,
here's a petition.
Man, here's a petition.
You really need to join.
You really need to join.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yep.
It's a fundamental difference in the way you approach it.
Yep.
If you go ahead and you say, I think you would make a good Mason. Well, what's a Freemason? Boom. That's not asking.
Right.
You know, but to
that's hold, just a request for information. Then you give them the information, and they either like it or they don't.
And if they look at me and go, "Oh, okay," and then that's it, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Or I don't believe in God, and then they walk away. Okay, cool, whatever.
You see, he's okay. So we're in agreement then. That is not asking; that's just suggesting. Yeah, that's what I am okay with is suggesting. It's when you're handing them, say, "Hey, man, here's a petition. Here's $100. You should join. I'll cover your dues for you.
Yep.
I'll cover your entry fee." Yep. That's a no-go.
Oh, the Grand Tall Cedar is the title. That's correct.
Josh Mantello. Right, Worshipful, Josh. Those bitching about a banner are probably the grumpy Passmaster saying, in my day, we didn't have banners. Yeah, because a lot of the Passmasters, at least that I know of, they chiseled it and...
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, we just updated one of our banners.
They still made use as Vs.
We had one from, I believe we were still using one from like the 70s or the 80s, and we just updated ours this year and had a new one made. So, I mean, we've been using banner for like parades and stuff like that for a long time.
Here's another thing we did. When we came here to this lodge, when we came here to this building, we left the church. We did a whole processional parade up
67. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I mean,
there were pictures of that.
There was a lot. There was drone footage
too. Nice. Yeah.
Again, it's even that is a subtle suggestion. I mean, shit. So is doing a parade for like Memorial Day, which is coming up, by the way.
We're doing one actually in Waterbury. Yeah. So, can I make a quick plug about that?
How about it?
Yeah. So if you are in the local area, you would like to march in the Waterbury Memorial Day Parade with Harmony Lodge and some other lodges from the area, please feel free to come out and meet us at, I can give you the details if you reach out to me on Facebook, but we'll be meeting on the 28th of, is it the 28th? Yes, the 28th of May on Freight Street, where the parade will be mustering, and feel free to come out. We're doing aprons and jewels if you're an officer, dark business suit for all other brothers. Wear a tuxedo if you're so inclined.
Yeah. Josh Mantello, what's wrong with telling someone you know is a good man that would a good Mason to take an application? No, nothing wrong with saying, hey, man, here's an application if you're interested. You know, right, I'm going to leave it right here if you want it. You know, but to actually put it in their hand and say, you need to fill out this application. That's kind of what we're driving at. It's more of like the force that you need to do. It's kind of like what the appending bodies do right after you become a fucking Master Mason.
No,
they do that all the time. Hey, man, here's a Scottish Rite petition. Fill this out. Like, major fucking turnoff. Major turnoff. Like, it drives me nuts when append. Like, I took the appending bodies. Don't get me wrong. But when you, I mean, you're fresh off of getting, you know, your Master Mason degree, and they just put that petition in your hand and say, hey, this is Scottish Rite if you want to move up now.
And we have a couple programs in Connecticut at the Blue Lodge level for kind of making sure that, you know, potential brothers are qualified before they receive a petition. There was the Six Steps to a Petition program that Grand Lodge did, and now we've got a new program that our Grand Master just announced this year called Blue Wave, which is a little bit different. It's a membership kind of retention program. But you don't see that, you know, I wish some of the appendant bodies, and I know that I don't want anybody to jump down my throat. I know there probably are some that have these types of programs, but I wish they did that a little bit more, right? Mm-hmm. Like pre-qualified, or not even pre-qualified guys, because they're already brothers in the lodge, but maybe have conversations with them about the body first instead of just being like, here you go.
The other thing is, you ever been to the dentist? You go to the dentist for just a regular checkup?
I do.
Regular checkup,
can't
right?
Can you tell? Look at those pearly whites.
But they look so. This is a funny story, actually. Way back in the day, I have a deviated septum, so my nose is all jacked up, probably from being punched in the face a million times or whatever the case may be. But my nose hooks.
You're mostly like born with that kind of thing, but
maybe whatever.
Maybe it's because your schnoz got mashed.
It's been mashed so many times that it's hooked slightly to the left, right? Okay. But yeah, I know you're looking at me now. Your profile.
Yeah, now I can see it.
I can see it. It's hooked slightly to the left. So I went in just to get a consultation. Hey, you know, I'm snoring really bad. I'm having trouble breathing. Blah 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 blah. And the doctor was like, "Oh, you have a deviated septum. We're going to schedule you next week for surgery." I'm like, "Whoa, hold on a second.
This was a dentist that told you that?
No. I changed the scenario because I actually had a real life story happen to me. But
ouch.
My point is, Like, that's how Masons should not approach getting someone to join. It's like, oh, well, you know, here's a petition. Fill this out. We'll
the
get you in.
The hard press, yeah.
We'll have your degrees. You'll take your editor press degree in less than a month. Like, whoa, slow down. Like, and I'm not even sure if I want this yet. Like,
yeah, in a lot of cases, maybe they don't, right? Like, all right. One step at a time, guys.
Yeah, slow down. You
know, like, here's your list of the next 3 degrees. You'll be a Mason by June or something. It's like, I don't think anybody's really interested in immediately becoming a Mason.
When they're interested, a little bit. I mean,
unless there are extending, you know, circumstances that are kind of like, you know, right. If somebody's being deployed or something in a couple of months, it's like, okay, we can work something out, but.
That's how I feel about the one-day conference bullshit. Like, if you're getting deployed or you're going somewhere and, that's what it should be for, not for let's just throw bodies in seats. Mm-hmm. Jed, worshipable brother, past master. Good morning. When I joined, an old brother showed me his wallet just to hold his dues cards. I thought that was crazy. Now I have one.
He has a dedicated dues card wallet? Oh, my God. That's pretty cool. I need one of those.
James Fields agreed. It is a turnoff the young brothers to bombard people with the appendant body up. Yeah, it drives me. I mean, I see it almost every time I go to a Master Mason degree. It's like, we should let them know they have options, but not to pass them. Yeah, I mean, it's literally like, come on over here, sit next to me, I'll tell you all about it. It's like, slow down, man. Let me savor this moment. Damn.
Yeah, and it's sad too, because in a lot of cases you see these brothers like immediately, you know, they're like, "Oh, I can do more now that I'm done." And it's like, "Well, no, you're not done." Right? When you take your third degree, it doesn't mean you're like done with Freemasonry. There's plenty of interesting stuff that you can do within the lodge, the Blue Lodge itself.
Right.
Don't immediately get sucked into all these different bodies.
Especially if you want to go to officer line, forget it. Now if you go to officer line, you're pot committed to your mother lodge.
Yeah.
I said brother lodge. Mother lodge. You're pot committed because you have to be there. You're an officer. You should be there. I don't say you have to be. You should be there every meeting because you're an officer.
Yeah, well, you took an obligation.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you take an obligation.
When you're installed in the state of Connecticut, you take an obligation that says you're going to do your job.
Another one.
You need to make sure that you're not infringing on that. Like, look, you have family responsibilities.
I think the wording, something along the lines of, is like, it is highly recommended that you attend every lodge meeting, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, until you get up to, like,
until
the warden.
Until you get the master, and then it's like, you're here, asshole.
You need to be here, If you're not here, and the master's not here, you can't open the lodge.
Let me continue reading this. Shane Alexander. I love the podcast and the fun, modern ways you guys interpret Freemasonry. You guys stick to the foundation, ritualistic virtues of our craft, but are open-minded to evolution as well. I would love to know your opinions on this matter. Our numbers are not growing exponentially, as I'm sure you guys are fully aware. Yeah, you know, it's still the case. As I'm sure you guys are, I believe that is a great idea and doesn't cross the line of recruitment. I don't think so either. Personally, I am glad to finally have an active district deputy grandmaster who active invested in growing our lodges rather than a brother simply filling a role because someone has to do it. Thank you for your time. I appreciate your thoughts on this matter. This is the banner, and he showed me the banner. It's pretty cool, actually. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's dive in this. It is good to have a district deputy who isn't just parking his ass in the east and doing doing inspections.
Right.
Let's be real. I don't feel like I was that. Some lodges need more help than others. Let's just be real. There's going to be some lodges that I walk into. Harmony Lodge was one of my lodges. I walked in and I'm like, you guys good? And you're like, yeah, we're good. Oh, okay. There's nothing for me to do. But, like, you know, there's other lodges that were a little bit more smaller, needed more help. I tried to be as active as I could. I mean, again, I got consumed with what happened in Worshipful Brother Joe Z's lodge, which was a big thing.
You take on an advisory role, too, as a district deputy. Like, if you walk into a lodge and they need help, they're usually going to tell you what the problems are, and then you have to kind of triage and, you know, assist them. It's not always about just doing inspections, because some lodges are going to have an issue doing an inspection because of some problem or other. So,
worshipful brother Barry Bartovic of Morningstar Lodge number 47.
Worshipful.
Great question. How can lodges make passive income to combat rising costs of living in inflation? That's not another pass the hat scenario.
Start a Patreon. No, don't do that.
All right. So how can lodges make a passive income? All right. So this is a good one. And the reason being is because there's so many different opinions on this. There's people who say, do pancake breakfasts, do this. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
fundraisers.
See, this is my thoughts on this. You need to weigh if the juice is worth the squeeze on a lot of these things. And what I mean by that is you can hold an event, okay? But understand there's a startup cost to these events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what you need to do is you need to find something that's a low cost initially, but a high return is the best way I can explain it. Again, we had the car show, okay? We give a lot of money to, and I'm just using this as an example, so please don't anybody choke me on this one, but we make a decent amount of money. Now, what we've done in the past is we've broke even. In other words, we took what we needed for the initial cost and then we gave the rest to charity. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm just throwing figures out there. Let's say you make $3,500 off the event. Okay, your initial cost was $1,000,
which isn't really breaking even because you gave the money to charity, and that's what we're supposed to do anyway. So it's like you made a profit if you gave the money to charity.
Yeah, true, right, but I mean, there's things you need to do in order to stay solvent.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
If you want to keep your lodge doing this event,
right,
you need to take a little bit back.
You got to cover your costs.
You got to cover your costs, and you have to take a little bit in.
Right.
Maybe I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit extra from that event prepare for next year's event.
Yeah, it just changes the nature of the event slightly because it's a little bit of a fundraiser. And as long as you're transparent with everyone about that, then there's no reason why. Look,
James has got a perfect example. Yeah. We did a spaghetti dinner. We made $8. Yeah. That's right, $8. I pledged $20 to not do another because it's not
nicely done.
worth it.
Right.
It's not worth it. Now, in regards of how to do things charity-wise, how to make more money, there's always the grand old thing, which is raise the dues. I do not agree with raising the dues. I think you should set the dues where they cover your Grand Lodge expenses or your Grand Lodge assessments. All right, so you're making even with Grand Lodge, it's a wash. That's what I think dues should be set to.
And the other costs that are levied by Grand Lodge, because you got like candidate fees and stuff like that. Like you got to be able to, you know, blend all of that and cover that cost.
Correct.
Dues. That's it.
So now poses the question, well, how do we cover rent? How do we cover this? How do we cover that? Those things should be done and can be done by, listen, you have a lodge full of Masons that have different skill sets, right?
Yep.
I mean, how do I put this? If you have a lodge who's got a chef in it, you do some sort of event, but you got to make it cost efficient. Meaning, I mean, if you're going to do a spaghetti dinner, James Fields, like, we know how much spaghetti costs and inexpensive, right?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, you can have that donated too.
And you can have it donated too. Because I mean, we raise a ton of food over there for the, I mean, there's bags over there for the food.
Bank. I mean, you could, like, go to, like, the local IGA, the local small town grocery store, and say, hey, can you donate enough pasta? Because pasta is, like, low margin stuff, right? Can you donate enough for, like, a dinner?
Yep.
And a lot of them will do that. And then you don't have to worry about covering that cost.
Now, this is where me and Grand Lodge are going to. We're gonna split views on this one, and it was actually a couple of years ago, and I'm still kind of addressing Brother Perry's question here. I've always been a fan of a card game.
Okay,
here's why. Okay, I understand that gambling is forbidden. It's forbidden. Can't gamble. It's blah 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 blah.
Yeah, it's all about the wording. Right, like having a setback tournament or something.
And a lodge did that, and they got their charter pulled for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, years ago.
Okay.
Now, see, here's the thing.
So maybe we can't do that then.
But you can, though, and here's how you get around it.
I mean, we can do raffles. Like, there is a legal...
You can do Texas Hold'em. You can do this. You can do that.
Friendly cash
but
game.
But you can't
pocket the money. So my suggestion would be have a giant card game, tournament card game, Texas Hold'em, whatever, but the winner doesn't get the money. He chooses
to donate it.
He chooses basically what his charity is going to be. Oh, now, okay. Just like Foxwoods, I don't know if you ever played at Foxwoods.
Yeah, no.
Have you ever played at Foxwoods? Every, I think it's 10 or 15 minutes, they sweep the pot, which means the house gets whatever the pot is in the middle.
Right.
They get a couple chips out of the middle. So maybe it's $5. You know, they pull $5 out of there, $5 out of there. Now, if you get a tournament that's going on for a couple fucking hours,
that adds up.
Yeah. That adds up quick.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But the actual winners of that event don't get to go home with a fat nut in their pocket. That money goes to a charity of their choice. So actually, okay. it's gambling, but it's not dishonest because it's going to charity. They choose the charity, whether it's Wounded Warriors, whether it's fucking name it. I don't care.
So it's like the FMP football league.
It's like the FMP football league. Yeah.
That's how we skirt the legalities, I guess.
But, I mean, you're giving money to charity.
Yep.
You're having who doesn't like to play cards? I love Texas Hold'em. I'll play cards all day long.
I like.
And on top of that, the lodge is raking the pot. So it's making money. So your lodge is A, making money. That's just something I had in mind.
I hate to say it. I'm going to say something like probably an unpopular thing. It's probably as unpopular as spaghetti dinners, but raffles.
Raffles.
Like, I know it sounds cliche and stupid, but man, if you set up a raffle correctly at one of your events, I mean, obviously you can't just do a raffle for raffle's sake, but if you're doing like a dinner or a semi-public event anyway, and you do a raffle or you have like a summer barbecue or whatever.
Right.
If you do it right, you can make a lot of money off of that.
Yeah.
And I know people, you know, there are some places where you can't use firearms for this purpose, but like an old vintage rifle or something like that. We're doing one for one of our barbecues coming up and you do a 52 card deck and you charge $20 a card or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, a chance to win that is $20. A lot of brothers are going to get behind that. You're probably going to sell out the entire deck and you're going to make a profit.
Right.
So little things like that.
I mean, Brother Perry had another idea and I don't remember exactly the details. So Brother Perry, if you're still watching, you're still listening, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he had an idea of having a up here be kind of like, oh God, what did he have? He wanted to do. It was like something to do with smoking, cigars. It had I don't even speak on it because I'm not 100% sure. But it was, you have vendors come in here, they pay you for the table, almost like a Masonic Con.
So
except this was for like smoking, and I don't remember what it was for. If it was for cigars or whatever, but you pay vendors to come up here and bring their shit up here.
Yeah,
they pay you. Oh no, you don't pay vendors. The vendors pay you, and you have a whatever the hell it may be. You can do it with beer. You can do it with. Unfortunately, and this is just my opinion. Again, I don't. I'm gonna piss some people off here, but. Grand Lodges have tied our hands on what we can and cannot do with certain things. I'm not saying have the freaking La Mirage strip club come up here and saying that shit.
There might be some like state legalities around that.
Yeah,
kind of thing
don't
too.
Do anything
like
that's illegal or you know elf code or anything.
I'm talking about like the cigars
even,
and the beer, not the
or even like
and...
immoral or maybe questionable.
Right,
but I mean gambling, I don't agree with because. I mean, gambling's a big thing. I don't know. Like, Perry Bartovic, it was for a weed bazaar.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it's legal here in Connecticut, so.
You know, you should have just said it was cigars.
oh, James said La Mirage. I'm just saying, like, you know, don't do things that are, I mean... I'm a big fan of having vendors come in, rent the space, set up their booths, and whatever.
Yep.
Jeez, I'll make the check for La Mirage.
So passive income. That's an interesting question. One of the things that we did recently is we put in key fob access, right? Because the idea was that at our lodge, if any brother is in good standing, or any brother of any of the appendant bodies that are incorporators of the building are in good standing, they should be able to access it anytime they want.
Right.
Right. Go up into the library, have a drink, do some reading. We got a library up there. When else are you going to do it? Not during lodge, but you can go in your own free time and go and study or read or, you know, do some emails or, you know, have some quiet study time. If you're in school or something like that, you got a place you can go. Now, obviously, when you enroll, it costs money, right? There's a one-time fee for that key fob because they're not free. Right. And if you lose it, you have to pay for it again. Well, you don't have to cost it exactly at what those key fobs go for. You can increase it a little bit, not so that it's exorbitant, but, you know, don't price yourself out of the market. But you can, you can make it a little bit higher just so that you're covering some other expenses throughout the lodge, right? So that's that's like an ongoing kind of passive form of income, I think, because you're always going to have new brothers that are enrolling. Occasionally, brothers are going to lose their fobs. You got new brothers that are joining that want access to the building. So you're making a little bit of money every time.
I'll be honest. I hate the pass the hat. I hate it. I cringe every time somebody's like, oh, we're going to pass that.
For like an for an emergency or something, I could see that. If it's a regular thing, different story. Like, guys, but if it's a regular thing, money left.
Like, what do? I slap the freaking plastic on the in the hat? Like, I can't stand past the hats. But, you know, there's other ways to do it. And you know, the problem is that when you
got to incentivize people to, you
got to incentivize
a raffle, you know, something like that.
And realistically, let's raffles and stuff and all these things don't really make the large amount of money that is needed to keep the lights on sometimes.
Depends how you run it.
So, I mean,
if you're raffling spaghetti, then you're probably not going to make any
money. I mean, me personally, I would, I mean, this is something I would do, and you know, if anybody's listening, I mean, we have a Patreon. People pay us to get into a exclusive chat. What's wrong with doing that with your lodge? For, like, new guys coming in.
If they're, I mean, but then you're, here's the issue that I would have with that. When we when we raise new Masons, or when we make new Masons, there's a part of our ritual where we talk about, you know, you can converse with well-informed brethren who will be as willing to whatever speak about the fraternity as you are willing to hear it or something like that. If you gate that experience and you say you can only get that if you pay $3 a month, it's different, I think, with the podcast, because you're, you know, giving everybody kind of equal access. We all come in on the level and we can all converse and we're from different parts of the world and we have different opinions, different jurisdictions. I think there's like an incentive there, but I would never want to gate somebody's Masonic enlightenment experience by saying that they have to pay more for it. You know what I mean?
No, leave it as an option. I'm not saying you have to. Leave it as an option.
Right. But then you're like kind of creating, unintentionally creating like a click where it's like, oh, we were talking about this on Patreon, but you're not part of that. Like it's, that would be my only issue with it.
My only other thing would be do events. Again, one of the things that we did for the podcast is we had I had an event to raise money for the podcast so we can get all this fine, wonderful equipment and shit we have up here.
Yeah, if
and
you saw what this was actually made out of.
Hey, it looks good.
George's 1x2s.
Listen, it's 1x3s, 2x3s, 2x3s.
We call this stick construction. Yeah, it actually, it's fairly stable. It
doesn't move.
That's because we reinforced it about 40 times, and it probably weighs like a metric ton.
It fucking works, all right? Don't be a naysayer.
But yes.
But my point is, we did the Ghosts of Morningstar Lodge 47. We had Liberty Ghost Hunters come up here.
Yep.
Did an event in the main room where we showed all the evidence and everything, and
it was public.
It was public. It was right around Halloween, so who doesn't like hearing ghost stories on Halloween? And there was probably 30, 40 people there. We charged them $20 a person. Bam, there was freaking money.
And hell, you might get a member or two out of it.
You might get a member or two. As a matter of fact, I left petitions out in the front. I didn't suggest. I didn't say, you want to see more ghosts? You should definitely join. I didn't say that, but I subtly left.
The only way you can see more ghosts is if you join.
But, you know, the other thing it was, too, it was an open house because I left the chamber reflection door open. so mm-hmm. everybody can see it. People kind of walked around.
Yeah.
And, you know
we
what I mean?
We did that. I think every lodge that hosted the Liberty Ghost Hunters got a little bit out of that event. It is a great way of doing things because you get some public exposure. You make a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
You might get some membership. And at the very least, you might change some people's opinion that might have a negative opinion about Freemasonry. They come into an open house and they're like, oh, these guys aren't Satan. That's cool.
Jasper Wilson. I'm going to get to yours in a minute, Perry. I feel like that's a shot at me, but that's all right. It's all good, man. Jasper Wilson. Hey, guys. Appreciate the podcast. Eye of my initiation. 2 weeks. Couldn't be more excited. Cheers from Western Australia.
Hey.
Congratulations. Mm.
Cheers.
All right. Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, we're drinking coffee.
Ah,
oh.
Perry Bartovic. What's your brother, Perry Bartovic? I feel like this was intended for me. I feel like it was. If it was, just say yes. He's crying, laughing emojis.
Blink once for yes.
What's your brother, Trey Bartovic? One more. How does a lodge get members who are on a long Masonic vacation to return to be active like they once was? All right. So.
That's a problem everywhere. It's not, I'm sure it's not directed at you.
All right. So, a couple things. I will just say, in Ken's famous words, well, he stole from a movie, but life finds a way. Life finds a way of getting in the goddamn way. Perfect example, me, my shift is from 10 to 6:30, and that's if I don't get a hospital run.
Right.
So 6:30, by the time I get out of New Haven, there's no way I'm making it up here to be in suit and tie for for a degree or excuse me, talks or whatever the hell we wear, or even a suit and tie for a regular meeting.
Right.
So I think what lodges should do, and I agree with this to a point, lodges should allow for those who come directly from work to not have to wear a shirt and tie. I think that's one that is a stickler. Again, I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about people in general. Make it so that if you're coming directly from work to lodge,
yeah,
you know, let them come in their work clothes.
Well, you got to look at what the main reasons that these formerly active brothers, or why aren't these brothers being active? And that's probably a big one, right?
Well, and that's the other thing. My other point to that would be, and then Ken, you can run with it as you want. I am a big fan of having a past master degree.
Yeah.
Meaning, not the degree, not the past master degree. Right. I'm talking about all of the past master. The current lodge officers vacate their chairs for one night, and
PMs fill.
We need all the PMs to fill these chairs and do a past master degree.
Yeah, we do that once a year. That's usually a fun time.
Some lodges don't.
Yeah,
Morningstar. Let the past masters take an active role in it. Because here, again, I've said this before, this is the problem with being a past master. Once you're out of the chair, once your duties are fulfilled and you're gone and your successors take place, what is there to do besides just show up or recycle them back in line, which a lot of past masters don't want to do that.
No, so I'll tell you.
So you give them one night, just one night. And
where they
bring
can
them in.
Relive their glory days.
Don't charge them dinner. Let them relive their glory days. Disclaimer, not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah,
actually, I just did a degree not too long ago. I did the first half of a Master Mason degree. So
yes.
I couldn't make the second one for whatever reason. I was taking my daughter to New York. So I do come. I do fill out when I can. But I think personally that's what you need to do is the current master needs to reach out to all the past masters and say, listen, hey, this day we have a degree. I want it to be done by all past masters and let the past masters sit in the chairs. For instance, I don't think I've ever been senior deacon for a single degree.
Really?
I would love to sit as a senior deacon and do the damn degree.
You should do that.
I've
like
never
the, it's
done
the
it.
Most fun. Well, I mean,
I've either been the master
on your
or I've done one of the other BS, not honestly BS offices, but the lower offices.
Right.
I've done, you know, the stewards, I've done, but I've never actually been the senior deacon to my recollection. So let the past masters choose what chair they want and let them put on the degree.
Yeah. Let them coordinate it themselves and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. It's usually a good time. We do it at least once a year, and usually we tend to put it on the trestle board well in advance, right? So all the past masters know well in advance that it's going to happen, and they can kind of coordinate it. And it's a nice night off for the officers.
Loose puppy down the hill.
A loose puppy?
Yeah, I can hit him from here. I'm a pretty good shot.
What? It's a puppy dog. Man,
you are a
monster.
There's a lady. She's walking following the dog.
Thank God for that.
I'm a pretty good shot. I can hit him.
Jesus, George.
I
completely knocked me off my train.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So All right, we're talking about past master's degrees. The nice thing about that, and again, the intent. Okay, so first of all, you said past masters tend to leave after they're done if they're not incentivized to come back for a past master degree. I'm one of those past masters that still comes to Lodge, and the reason that I do is because people ask for my help.
Right.
There's a lot of past masters that come to Lodge still, and it's because they enjoy advising the younger officers. They reach out to them for assistance. Now, if you're going to be a grumpy ass past master, nobody's going to ask you for your help. And then you should. Then there's no reason for you to come to Lodge, right? But that is part of your job, I think. It's one of those like unwritten, and I think during the past master's degree, it's actually explained to you that that is your role after you're master of the Lodge. But if you take that to heart, then you know. And you're not a jerk, then people are going to come to you, and it's going to make you want to stay in Lodge. It's going to, you know, you have you take on that advisory role. To do the past master's degree is a lot of fun.
Here's I want to also add to that. Here's another thing, and I hate to say this. It's actually when you've seen the degrees numerous times, it becomes the same thing over and over again. The degrees, in my opinion, once you've seen them 1,000 times, I don't want to say for the initial initiated because it's magnificent when you are initially initiated and you're going through it all. But for a past master who's watched numerous degrees, it's the same old story, same old song and dance. It gets boring watching the same movie. My suggestion is one of the things that I love about the Scottish Rite is the role play. I think you should have themed degrees.
Yeah, okay.
Dress up as King Hiram's council, court.
Of course, staying within the confines.
Staying within the confines. Don't change the ritual.
Your Grand Lodge.
Don't change the ritual. Yeah, don't everything. But dress up. Make it Caledonians. Boom. There's a degree that is they were packed.
Garibaldi degree.
Degree. Those were always what's the law enforcement? The police degree? The whatever
police
we call it.
Police square degree team.
Police square degree team. Yeah. They're all in their police uniforms. Yeah. They're all law enforcement. Fire degree teams. These are the things that people were like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, people will travel to go see
that. People will travel to go see that. Yeah. That's how you pack a lodge. Don't do the same goddamn thing over and over again.
Yep.
Number three. Big one. Big one for me. Do a fucking dinner. Do a dinner.
Spaghetti.
And
dinner.
I'm not talking about spaghetti. I'm not chili talking about green beans and freaking pizza. Sit down the entire lodge. One of the things that.
Like a festive board.
Fantastic back in the day. And Naugatuck Lodge used to come visit us. It's because we'd go down to Jimmy's and the downstairs, they had food laid out. Everybody would just sit. Everybody threw money in. Money wasn't an issue. That's also how you make money for your lodge.
Yeah, you can get a profit out of that.
You can get a profit out of that.
Yep.
Cover the dinner, and then the lodge gets the rest. Don't spend it on booze afterward.
Yeah.
Bring it back to the secretary.
Which is easy to do at Jimmy's.
But. It's very easy to do at Jimmy's. But that's another thing. That's all I'm saying is, like, these are the things that you need to do. This is just my opinion. Have themed degrees. Themed degrees are people will come see that shit.
That's true.
They will come to see something a little different.
Yep. And getting those brothers back from Masonic vacation, I think, really has to do with figuring out why they're on vacation to begin with, right? And if there's a trend, if you're noticing that there are several brothers that, you know, whatever, can't make it from work too quickly, then yeah, we take your suggestion and we say, okay, well, semi-casual for those brothers that can't make it, you know, that coming straight from work, right? And here's the other thing. If one of those or if there's a big group of those brothers that aren't coming because they're missing out on something, right? They joined for a particular reason. They're not getting it, so they're not coming back. Find out what that is. And, you know, it could be something as simple as, hey, they all three of these guys, they're not coming. They enjoy the historical aspect of Freemasonry.
Right.
Well, if all you're doing is putting on degrees and paying bills and freaking reading minutes, then you're missing out at, like, the course they're not
Thank
coming.
You. Because I'm sorry. Stop doing business after a degree.
Well,
do it on a different night. So it drives me nuts. Do the degree. Yeah. That night is for the candidate. It's not for you to talk about what cotton candy maker we're getting for the night. Like,
right.
Do the.
So make subtle changes based on that, right? If do a program on the history of the lodge or something like that, right? Find out what those brothers, see if there's a trend in why those brothers aren't attending. And it's easy enough to do that. You don't have to send out a survey. You can just call these brothers, right? We do call them all the time. Like, sometimes your brother's just checking in on you. We haven't seen you at lodge in a while. How come we haven't seen you? And then, you know, see if you note a trend and work that trend.
Or you just have a fellowship night where you just all come up and hang out. I think that was done in Morningstar not too long ago.
Yeah, there's and no, you there's can no, have that chat in
It's
person.
Not a meeting.
No pressure.
It's not a meeting. Yeah. Just come up and hang out. Jeb Worship Brother Past Master. Are they on vacation or active in other areas of Masonry?
See, that could be one that of the things.
That could be one of the things. And
those three guys that you talk to might be like, oh, well, I've been really busy at Scottish Rite recently.
Yeah.
There's not so much you can do about that outside of just let them know what's going on with their mother lodge, and then they can make the call on what body they want to spend their time
with. Perry, did I answer your question? Do you like what I had to say, or do you have a different opinion, or do you have any thoughts on that? I'd love to hear it.
No spaghetti and no effing green beans.
Me and Brother Perry have had multiple conversations about these things, so it's kind of nice to talk about it live so that people can hear. But that's my personal thing is if I could reverse time,
if I can turn back time,
you can't.
Especially not wearing what she wore.
You cannot turn back time, nor recall days gone by. The passing moment is yours.
But if I can go back and do it again, those are the things I would do. I would do my personal thing is I would do a Texas Hold'em night. Pick your favorite charity.
Yeah,
that's where the money goes. Lodge rakes the pot every 10 minutes or so, every 15 minutes, whatever the hell. Money goes to the lodge. I would do themed master mason. I would do themed degrees, whatever they may be. Themed degrees. I would do a past masters.
Yep. Past master degree, themed degrees.
And again, this is all... stick to the podcast, the singing not so much. Yeah.
Your mileage may vary too, because there are probably like local and Grand Lodge. Your Grand Lodge jurisdiction may have rules about some of these things.
I don't care about the rules.
I know you don't.
I make the rules.
But they may.
I don't.
These are good suggestions, but always vet them. You know, these are not universal.
Again, you should check with your district deputy and find out you can do these things. But I mean,
for sure.
I don't know. I'm very.
I put on my legal hat today.
I'm very, I get, you know, why we need a Grand Lodge, and I follow the rank structure. I want to be clear, but I'm also very Blue Lodge. What happens in-house should have, if we're making money to stay solvent, to keep the lodge afloat, I hate that the Grand Lodge can have an opinion about what you do.
Yeah.
To a point.
You gotta like follow local laws and stuff like that too. Because look, if you do something that's like,
yeah, it works. I think
illegal ish. You could like lose money. You're not making money.
I've used this example before. We got the freaking thing here on the wall right behind the camera that we're a bottle club and we're allowed to have alcohol up here. And that's Grand Lodge's way of absolving them of any responsibility if somebody does something stupid.
Absolving
the
lodge too.
All that.
Yeah,
absolving the lodge.
Part of it is so that the lodge doesn't get.
But there was a table lodge in a lodge that will remain nameless. Yeah. That they had a table lodge that used to be very well attended, and people would come from all over the state to go to this table lodge. And the minute they wiped out booze because Grand Lodge said no, and they're in a big building, and the whole building committee said no, no more alcohol. Guess what happened to that table lodge?
It failed.
It died on the vine, and it was one of the largest, most well-attended table lodges. They basically cut the throat of the lodge. They're hemorrhaging. I don't know if they're hemorrhaging money and everything, but I'm just saying, like, you took the lifeline out.
Part of that, there is a right way to do it, right? There are, like, several options, even if you're, you know, if you're following the letter of the law as it is in our jurisdiction. Well, it's not even that. I mean, if you own your own building, then the lodge is technically the building committee. Like, they're the ones calling the shots, and the lodge might be like, well, we don't want to do a bottle club. Well, okay, well, there's other things you could do. You could, you know, if it's
the building committee decided.
All right, that's fine. Well, then, look, it's not, I just don't feel like that's...
Exterminate them.
That's
execute order 66.
I don't think that's, like, Grand Lodge's fault. Look, you've got other options, too. You can have one event... if it's one event a year, just hire a caterer or a bartender that has a liquor license to run a bar inside the event, and you can do that. That's also acceptable based on that legislation. Or you could do a bottle club, or you could do the event at a different venue, right? So it's like...
Or you can execute Order 66. Yeah,
so they could be like, oh, well, they'll cut our throats. Well, yeah, but you know what? There are options. You could work the problem, or you could just throw up your hands and say, we can't do it. So, yeah, I don't know if I entirely buy that line of reasoning.
Now, I just want to say this on the converse, on the flip side of it, okay? If you come up with an idea and your lodge shoots it down, don't get discouraged. Don't walk away from the lodge. This is bullshit. And walk away because your idea didn't work.
Look, sometimes that's just the way democracy works, guys.
I know. But you come up with a different way. Yeah. Alter it a little bit. Change it a little bit.
Yeah. Amend the motion.
Amend the motion.
Stick to the podcast, the singing not so much.
Yeah, that's because I was singing Turn Back Time.
Oh, I think Perry Bartlett. Joe has a beautiful singing voice, though.
You have the voice of an angel.
Yeah.
What was that from? Maybe Step Brothers?
Step Brothers.
Yeah, it works. I think a setback tournament should happen. Me and Worship Brother Pat would do it. Yeah, I
love
agree.
Setback. I'd come out
but
for that.
Again, what I would say is nobody gets money. This way it's not, it's gambling, but there's no, the brothers don't get the money. It goes to a charity. This way you're absolving and washing your hands. So there's not, our Grand Lodge says it's no gambling because it's a dishonest and
Well, I think that's one thing, right? If people are competing against each other, then yeah, I can see where that would be a problem.
Freaking life! Everybody competes against everybody.
Understood.
In life.
But when you throw like the financial aspect in, it changes things. But yeah, if you're giving the money to charity,
gorillas
that's where
fight
it's
over food and women.
Jesus Christ!
We are fucking primates. When the hell are we gonna realize this? We're nothing but monkeys, except with money.
I've never seen chimpanzees gamble before.
What?
I've never seen chimpanzees gamble.
They don't gamble, but my point is money buys food and women. So it's no different.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
You can't argue. You can't deny our human nature. And we come from primates, and this is things primates fight over, so I don't get it. Part of knowledge.
Start.
I'm making this shit up as I go. I hope you know.
We should start throwing poo at each other.
We do.
I know.
In Discord. We do throw poo. But
oh, yes,
my point being is if the money isn't going to a brother who's going to get shaved in the parking lot for cleaning house, what's the problem? It's going to a charity. Like if Wounded Warrior Projects, Wounded Warrior Project or Till Valhalla.
I'll use
project
one of my
makes just throwing a wild number out there. $10,000. Dude cleans up, wipes out everybody in the freaking lodge, takes that money, and he gives us the money. It goes to Till Valhalla Project. Veterans
are the beneficiaries.
Yeah. What's the problem? I don't get it.
If you're pocketing the money, what if you had won, George? What if you had won?
What if I had won what? Where would
Never
I send it?
Never put yourself into a position to take from these men.
Oh, for fuck's sake. But I'm giving back to the men.
Right, but you're giving back to the
men. And again, I give it to the Till Valhalla Project. What do? They spend money on women and booze. No, I'm kidding. So see, it's a circle. It's a circle.
It's a great foundation, by the way.
It is a great foundation. Danny, brother Danny Collins, he's big into that.
Yes. Yep.
But my point
is the one that actually brought that to my attention. I've bought several shirts for several people since then. But yeah, you got one for me, and yeah, I love that. It's a great foundation.
Yeah, but my point is that's where I feel gambling is okay. If it's going to a charity, who gives a shit how the money gets there? And that is my problem with the whole quote-unquote gambling thing.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything nefarious. I mean, I'd rather be up here gambling than, throwing dollar bills at La Mirage, if you follow what I'm getting at.
Yes, I follow exactly what you're getting at.
But it's going to a good cause. So what's the problem? What's more, in your opinion, what's more ungentlemanly, if you will? Throwing dollars at the La Mirage, or
that's definitely more ungentlemanly.
Bingo!
There's a very
Your Honor, I rest my
defined,
case.
Defined, yeah.
I rest my case.
Gentlemen have gambled together since time immemorial.
Yes!
George.
And if you don't think they didn't do that in 1804 in Abel Wheeler's house in Morningstar, you're crazy.
Yeah, they probably just weren't talking to Grand Lodge about it ahead of time.
James Field, what's your take on a brother who wins a 50-50? Should he donate it back or acceptable for him to keep it?
That's up to the individual brother for sure. I never shamed anybody for taking their half of a 50-50 if they won, but I've always donated it back. But that's because I feel strongly about my lodge. I didn't really need the money at the time, but it's really your own. It's up to your own recognizance. I would never shame anybody about it.
I bought booze with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that too. You can go out and buy a bottle.
I've actually never won a 50-50.
I mean, it's really it's up to you. It doesn't. I have no opinion one way or another. If you definitely don't need the money, then hell, share it with your brothers. Either donate it back to the lodge or buy something for the lodge with it or something like that. But look, man, if you need the money, take the money. You know, your brothers aren't here to judge you.
Jed, how about a district dart tournament? Yeah. Anyway, in my opinion, that you do it is fine by me. My opinions. These are my goddamn opinions. But I don't see a problem with it. Anything that's going to bring people to the table, anybody that's going to bring, anything that's going to bring money to A, the lodge, because the lodge is going to take a little bit for hosting the event, as well as it puts money in the lodge's coffers.
Yeah. And you could have like an entry fee, right? So there's like a cost to play, then the entry fee can go to covering the operational expenses of the lodge plus, right? If you want to net a little bit of a profit off of it. And usually, you know, as long as you're not being extravagant about it, nobody's going to be like, oh, a $10 cover charge to get into the dart tournament and then I have to pay to play. Like, that's not going to cause any problems. It's not going to cause attendance to decline or anything.
All right, tantrum.
Do it and take a little bit of money.
Tantrum. And you're going to answer for me. What would you rather attend? Lodge setback tournament? Lodge chili cook-off? Go.
Setback tournament.
Okay. What would you rather attend?
Chili cook-off or past master's degree?
Chili cook-off or a past master's degree?
Past master's degree.
What would you rather attend? A themed degree or a chili cook-off?
Themed degree.
So who the hell's saying cook-off?
James Fields. And Jed. You know what? Can we ban them? Can we shadow ban them?
Everybody knows my feelings on the cook-off.
All right. Okay, what would you rather attend? Normal, crappy state of communication. Not a crap. Whatever. A normal state of communication where they only read past minutes, or a chili cook-off, George? Which one?
James Fields said La Mirage. La Mirage. I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right, state of communication where they do nothing but read minutes and pay a couple bills, or chili cook-off?
Pay the bills.
Really?
I hate chili cook-offs. I'd rather do a chili cook-off. You want to do something instead of a chili cook-off?
We did one a couple weeks ago.
Food truck festival. Boom!
Okay.
Pay vendors. Park in your goddamn parking lot.
That takes a little bit more work, I hate to tell you.
How does it take more work? Hey, we want to have...
Look, stopping at Wendy's on the way to Lodge to grab a little thing of chili and submit it as your own is less work than hiring a bunch of food trucks, George.
No. You have a parking lot in your lodge. This lodge doesn't. We park on the street. But if your lodge has a parking lot, okay, relatively large. Some lodges are bigger than others. They have a parking lot.
We could fit maybe three or four food trucks in the parking lot. Maybe five.
Or you just pull a permit and get them to park on the street.
Could do that, too.
You could fit more than that. You got that whole gravel back over there.
Yeah. Okay, we could
probably... Food truck festival in the parking lot. We want to have a food truck festival. You park your truck, you pay us $10-$15 so you can park your truck in there. We're going to have a food truck festival. Lodge is making money off the food trucks, and the food trucks are making money off your freaking people. You have a big, giant food truck. Naugatuck had one. The town of Naugatuck had a food truck festival yesterday where they had like 300 food trucks show up.
Okay.
And the town made money off it.
Yeah.
As well as the food trucks. And people came out and people, I love going to Naugatuck though because they got a food truck festival. What do you think would happen with the Masonic Lodge?
Capitalism
works.
Same
goddamn thing. Capitalism does work.
Right.
Tell that to some politicians.
Well.
Yeah. See what I did there?
I don't think those politicians go to food truck festivals. I think they're too busy.
James Field. We have a field next to our lodge. It would fit about 5 trucks. It's all you need.
Yeah.
It's all you need.
I mean, it's worth looking
at. Get a bounce house so the Masons can jump around. And...
Yeah. We've actually done events where we had bounce houses, and it was all Masons. And there's
me and Phil got into a full. Me and Worship Brother Phil got into a full-on fight in a bounce house with a bunch of little kids, and we flipped that bitch and launched the kids out the door. This is true. There's video of it. I don't know where.
We got, you got in a fight.
We
in
got
a bounce
into a full-on fight. I mean, talking about like WWE. Stone Cold Stunners and freaking DDTs and RKOs. I mean, full-on fight. And we somehow, I don't know if I threw him or he threw me into the side, and it pulled the stake.
Flipped over.
Pulled the stakes out of the ground, flipped the whole bitch right over. All you hear the kids go, ah! All the little kids start screaming. Freaking hilarious. But,
you know, this is why conspiracy theorists have a problem with us. It's because they see you doing this kind of stuff, George. Thanks.
Yeah, though that's a true story. That's a real true story. But my point is,
food truck fight.
Yeah, I these are events that are relatively cheap. Food trucks will pay the lodge to park their truck on your property. Do a food truck festival.
Yeah, and you get anything that you can do that's reasonably inexpensive and gets the general public out is a win-win-win, right? Because
I'm on
there
a
you go.
Freaking
that's,
roll today.
That's advertising. It's not recruiting. Eventually, you're going to have somebody, you know, especially with like the ghost hunter things. We had at least two guys come up to us. We didn't advertise at all. There were no flyers around. There was nothing. They came up to us and they said, "Hey, so you know, how do you join? Like, tell me more about Freemasonry."
Here's another one.
They're not just going to come in off the street.
Here's another one. Here's another one. You want to get it? Here we go. Hire the Shriner clowns to show up and clown.
Oh, yeah. They love doing that. Absolutely.
Kids.
Yeah.
Kids bring parents. Parents bring membership and money.
Yeah. We do that at the dyslexia walk. We've had the clowns show up. Yeah. It's usually a good deal.
It's like a gift. I can't help it.
Yes, well,
WWE with the podcast guys, I will beat the shit out of Ken. I will clip him right at the kneecaps.
Well, we talked about this. We have like the belt right up here. We were gonna do like
right at the kneecaps.
We were gonna do a choreographed wrestling event, and we just never did. Now the thing sits there gathering.
No spaghetti through.
Next time Joe comes back up here, all right, I'm throwing down. I've had it with you people.
James Field. With WWE with the podcast guys, I can charge admission and get food trucks. No spaghetti, though. And maybe we can get a La Mirage.
You know what? That sounds like the perfect event to get those Masonic vacationers back into your lodge.
They'll yank our dues cards so goddamn fast.
Let's do it. I'm going to wear body armor, though, because I'm a sensitive flower.
Do anything. If you got a large field or a large area, do a small little Renaissance fair. Like, towns do this shit all the time.
A Ren fair. Have all the LARPers show up.
Why not? Let them show up. Let them all show up.
With their foam swords.
Show up with your foam sword.
Dungeons and Dragons.
That's fine. I'll have a Springfield XDS.
Don't take any of George's advice.
I'm on a roll today. I just had my coffee, so I'm starting to catch my second wind now.
Yeah, I've drank too much coffee. I'm like jittery over here.
All I'm saying is these are all ideas. You got to think outside the box sometimes, and I think a lot of lodges, they go to the fallbacks. And I'm sorry, chili cook-off, it doesn't bring anybody from the outside public. All it brings is a bunch of Masons bitching that they lost.
Yeah, get rid of those expired. Yeah, I know.
Bitching at the law. Yeah, see what I'm doing there? I'm right.
There's not even a chair here, so it's. You know.
I'm wrestling the natives. Bitching that they lost. Oh, I went to the bathroom and there was more tickets. I hate chili cook-offs. Hate them.
We did one, the state of communication before our previous one, and there were 8 submissions, and it was delicious chili.
Guess who wasn't there?
You weren't there. But it was actually very, very well attended, George. So it seems like statistically people don't have the same opinion.
Straight up leave. Speak of another event. While we're on the subject of it.
Oh, by the way, congratulations to brother Frank Bombardier, who's chili won.
May 27th. What day is that?
It's the day before the Memorial Day parade in Waterbury.
Our buddy Drip. Or a.k.a. Carlo from...
our brothers over at the
Widow's
Paladins.
Sons. They're having a Widow's Son breakout party May 27th and 20 Falls 25 Falls Avenue, Oakville in Connecticut, 10 a.m. to whenever. And there's the picture he put up.
Widow's son's breakout party.
Dude passed out on the table.
Oh, God. Don't you have to ride a motorcycle? Isn't it a breakout party always a ride?
Nah.
Oh, no. If he invited
he
us.
Asked, he invited us.
Yeah,
but
because we're not, we don't have bikes.
Anybody wants to go check it out.
The 27th. All right, that's a
Let
Saturday.
Them know that we sent you.
That's this Saturday. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, this coming Saturday. So if you want to go to that.
I'll go see those guys. I saw them recently.
There you go, Drip. I put the freaking, I put the 411
out. Word out.
Put the word out for you.
No, those are good guys, man. I had the opportunity to visit their clubhouse. They're all very, very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Brought their families out. I mean, we had a great time. Even though it was raining, we had a great time.
What do you say, Kenny? Beautiful. You think we stuck a fork in this?
I think so. Wow, we've been going for an hour and 15 minutes.
I was on a roll, man. I was hot for the last, 20 minutes, man.
We should get all jacked up on caffeine more often and do these things.
Yep. So, a setback tournament that goes to charity. La Mirage. No chili cook-off. No spaghetti. No green beans. With Shriners clowns and food trucks. Boom. Done.
Yep.
I rest my case.
Yeah. I think...
That's it.
I think that's the a perfect summation. We'll put that in the,
I feel, we should,
in the listeners' notes.
Yeah, we should put it in the listeners' notes.
Yep.
And I just feel like singing the song now from Moana. You're welcome. You're welcome.
It's been a minute since I've seen
that
movie.
I'm going to get so many freaking deuce cards revoked.
Like every appendant body. All right. Half of this is comedy,
half of it is serious, so please don't take my word for it.
It's up to you to figure out which is which.
And again, make sure, and I'm going to say this because I have to round it off, make sure if you want to do any type of event, you clear it through a district deputy grandmaster so you don't get your ass in a jam. Don't say.
Yeah, it never
Don't say
to,
George and Ken told me because we're not the ruling body. We're just two idiots with ideas.
Yeah, it never hurts to ask your DD, or ask whoever your district representative is or the master of your lodge just to kind of vet things.
Yep.
Don't
good over there?
Trigger without,
you having a heart attack or something?
No, I just burped. I was burping while I was talking, trying not to do it on air.
You failed miserably.
It's one of those radio tricks that they taught me, and it didn't work out.
Hey, at least it wasn't like when you see those chicks freaking drinking the freaking Sprite. They guzzle the Sprite, and they're like, I don't feel... that's the worst. That freaking video is hysterical.
Oh, man.
Anyway, what do you say, Kenny?
Yeah, I think you just put the nail in it right there
with
the Sprite thing. Brother James Fields, Jed, thank you guys so much for the great conversation.
And Appreciate Perry.
Yeah, brother.
Thank you for...
great questions.
Thank you for taking a shit on me.
Too. Yeah, knock him down off of his pedestal. Matt Goldswizzle, Matt Remington, Josh Mantello, thank you guys so much for joining us today.
All right. For the Freemasons podcast, I am Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
And I'm Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Enjoy, friends.
La Mirage.
La Mirage.